In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, a long time ago, back in olden days, right around this time of year, people would typically send things to each other called Christmas cards. Now, if you've never seen a Christmas card before, imagine a year's worth of social media posts all on one piece of paper sent to you in the mail. I know, it sounds kind of weird. But these letters would often detail the events of the past year, sharing with everyone the interesting places you had been, the fun things that you had done, and the wonderful things that had happened to you. Now, I wonder if the Apostle Paul ever wrote a Christmas letter. I can imagine it now. Dear friends, it has been an interesting year. I've done a lot of traveling. And at first you'd think, oh, this is going to be a great Christmas letter. And then he would continue, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. Needless to say, I haven't slept much in the past year. You would probably read that and think, boy, I'm glad I'm not Paul. And with everything that he went through and all that Paul suffered, he's probably the last person we would expect to talk about blessing, or at least our modern understanding of blessing. Now, for people today, blessing tends to fall into 3 basic categories. The first is physical blessing. Now, some people are blessed with dashing good looks. Others might have amazing strength and quickness, while still others are blessed with superior intelligence. Of course, some of us have all 3, right? Says the guy standing on a stool so you can see me over the pulpit. Now, Paul, unfortunately, did not receive an abundance of physical blessing. Now, even though he was gifted with a dizzying intellect, his physical stature left quite a lot to be desired. The Corinthians themselves are accused of saying that Paul's letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is of no account. And Paul's physical health also wasn't very good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul mentions a thorn in his flesh. And while there's debate about what that actually was, there are many who believe that it was some sort of eye ailment that Paul was suffering with. And so by our modern standards, we probably can't say that Paul was physically blessed. Now, the second kind of blessing we recognize in the modern world is financial or material blessing. And we hear about how people have been blessed with a good job and a nice home and abundant resources. But again, this doesn't seem to be the case for Paul. He's constantly on the move, and he's always suffering abuse at the hands of those around him. He didn't receive a salary and often had to pay his own expenses for his missionary journeys. So we probably can't say that Paul was financially blessed. Now, the third type of blessing we recognize today is relational blessing. We are blessed when we have a loving family, when we have deep, abiding relationships, and when we enjoy the people that we work with. But again, we don't see a whole lot of evidence of this with Paul. We don't really see him having a family in Scripture. And while we know that he had very deep and meaningful relationships with the people he came into contact with, his constant travel and missionary work had to have put a strain on these friendships. So what we have to realize is when Paul talks about blessing, he's actually talking about a fourth kind of blessing. He's talking about spiritual blessing. Now, reading from Ephesians this morning starts out with Paul saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And this morning I'd like to take a look at what it means to be spiritually blessed by God. Now, to begin, being spiritually blessed means that we are chosen by God for adoption as sons and daughters. In verse 4 of our reading today, Paul says that we are blessed even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And he goes on to say, "In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ." So think about that for a second. Before you ever chose God, God first chose you by his divine will. Before you drew your first breath, God already had a plan for how he would save you. Before you were conceived in the womb of your mother, you were conceived in the mind of the Creator. So trying to earn our salvation is like constantly interviewing for a job that we already have. But there's so much more than simply being chosen by God to avoid the fires of hell. We have been adopted as sons of the King, and that means that we are heirs of his coming kingdom. Not only is this something we can't earn, but it's something that can't be taken away from us. God will not change his mind, and we cannot make a mistake that will nullify our adoption. In our world today, there is so much striving that we do. At work, we're constantly striving for success, or at least to not get fired. This time of year, so many of us are striving to be healthier, to exercise more, to eat better foods. And our relationships can seem like a constant struggle and striving to maintain. And it can feel like we are constantly walking this perpetual tightrope, trying to keep our balance and not fall into this bottomless pit of failure and despair. And so it is a true blessing to know that we don't have to strive after God. An offhand comment or a poorly timed joke is not going to hurt his feelings and destroy your relationship with him, because he has chosen you as sons and daughters. And there is no failure, there is no disappointment, and there is no despair in God's choices. The second way that God blesses us spiritually is by redeeming us. Starting in verse 7, Paul says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight." Now, to redeem something literally means to buy it back. And if you've ever had to pawn something, you know exactly what this means. If you need money, you take something to a pawn shop and you give them that item and they give you money for it. And it's usually a lot less than what the item is worth. And in order to get that item back, you have to go and redeem it, to literally buy it back, this time for much more than it is probably worth. And so Paul is telling us that Christ has paid the price with his blood on the cross to buy us back, to purchase us back from a world of sin and death, and to restore us to our rightful and original owner. And I love the image that Paul uses of God's redeeming forgiveness being lavished upon us. I think often we lose sight of how lavish God's grace and forgiveness are. When I was in high school, I was friends with a guy whose father was the president of Pepsi. And it was always fun going to their house because they had lots of Pepsi products always on hand. They would even have the special stuff that they were test marketing in different parts of the country that we could try out. Some of it was good, some of it never made it out of the test market. But no matter how much Pepsi I drank at his house, they never seemed to run out. The supplies never got low. His mom never had to say, "Boys, you better slow down on the Pepsi or we're going to have to switch to iced tea." No, it seemed like they had an endless supply. And that is the image that we need to have regarding God's redeeming work in Christ. It's not something that he doles out sparingly like new cars on a game show. The supply of his grace and forgiveness are so great that we can never exhaust it. There are no last chances with God, and there's no such thing as a point of no return. Now, there are reports that before his own death, the prolific serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer actually accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior and became a Christian. Now, I don't know how sincere his confession was. I don't know what was in his heart, but we need to ask ourselves, is God's grace and forgiveness big enough to even lavish upon a monster like Jeffrey Dahmer? And I know it may be offensive to think of it, but I believe it is. And while we may get angry at the injustice of that, we need to also take comfort in knowing that if God can forgive someone like that, He can certainly forgive me. His grace is certainly abundant enough for us. Finally, God's spiritual blessing gives us purpose in our lives. We've often asked questions like, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? These are the topics that philosophy has struggled to answer for hundreds and even thousands of years. And there are a lot of answers to those questions that fall short. Evolutionary science tells us that our purpose is to pass on our genetic material to the next generation. But what are we to do with the rest of our lives? What about after our children are grown and we're done raising them? What about the people who, for various reasons, aren't able to have children? Do they then have no purpose in existence? Hedonism tells us that our reason for existing is to seek physical pleasure in life. But if that is the purpose, how then do we make sense of so much pain and suffering in the world? What do we say about people for whom life is a daily struggle simply for existence? Are their lives meaningless because they choose mere survival over pleasure? For secularists, life is about doing something important enough to attain fame and fortune. But even with that, all of those things that someone does that are important now will one day pass away and become nothing more than a footnote in a textbook or an inscription on a gravestone. But God offers us true purpose. Only God offers us eternal purpose and significance in our lives. Starting with verse 11, Paul says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory." So we have been created for the purpose of glorifying God in the world. And the great thing about this purpose is that it requires no special skills or abilities. We don't have to be rich or famous, strong or brilliant, handsome or tall in order to do it. I have a friend named Rachel, and Rachel has Down syndrome. And so she will likely never have children. She lacks the resources to pursue hedonistic pleasures, and she will never make any great scientific discoveries. But Rachel loves Jesus like few people I have ever known. And her life centers around giving continual praise and glory to her Heavenly Father. So despite what all of these other philosophies say about purpose, Rachel is truly living into her created purpose. And because of that, her life has infinite meaning, not just in this world, but for all of eternity. And the same is true for you and me. Regardless of our situations in life, we have all been given the purpose of glorifying God in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of a corporation or the custodian. It doesn't matter if you're 85 or 15. It doesn't matter if you are world famous or completely unknown. God has given us all the same purpose. And when we live out that purpose, our lives will always have significance and meaning for eternity. As we enter into 2020, I certainly hope that you would all experience physical, financial, and relational blessings in your lives. But unfortunately, none of those things are guaranteed. Spiritual blessing, on the other hand, is guaranteed. Our reading concludes with Paul saying, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." These spiritual blessings of adoption, redemption, and purpose are God's commitment to us through the Holy Spirit, not just for this lifetime, but for the coming kingdom as well. Physical blessings are wonderful, but we may not all experience good health and strong bodies. Financial blessings are great, but many of us will likely struggle from paycheck to paycheck our entire lives. Relational blessings are fantastic, but we will always experience pain and heartache and separation from those that we love. But rejoice that God's spiritual blessings for all of us are for now and for always, even into eternity. My prayer for you in this new year is that you might truly experience these blessings in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that through them you might then be a spiritual blessing to those around you who are seeking the light and the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen.